Hello, and welcome to Soul-Led Living, a podcast dedicated to helping you live your soul's true path so you can create the dream life you know you are meant to live. I'm Nikki Novo, your spiritual mentor, a fiery Latina, mom of three, and an advocate for living soul-led. You're here because you're meant to be here, so let's do this. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Soul-Led Living Business Edition, everybody's favorite business podcast, right? Because it's like, I don't know, it's almost like not about business. It's just creativity and intuitive and live your best life vibe. So excited to be here with you guys. Today, I'm hoping that I'm going to help you walk back from that cliff that you might want to jump off of right now when it comes to business. I've been there a million times. We're going to talk about whether the thing that you're working on, whether it's your business or sometimes it could be like a product or a project within the business, whether it was a good idea. Is it something you're supposed to kill off? Are you supposed to fix it? Are you supposed to pivot? Are you supposed to start all over again, right? There's always those times in business where you're working on something that you thought was going to work and it's just not working. You're like, oh my God, I have tried the things and I cannot sell this product, or like getting criticism or feedback on this thing. And I'm not making the sales that I thought I was going to make. Like, should I just burn this thing down? Or, you know, what is this trying to tell me? A lot of times I have young entrepreneurs that will be like, listen, I've been doing the thing. No clients are showing up. Am I just not supposed to do this? Like, is this just not part of my soul's path? And I thought it was, right? And you have a whole like soul crisis and wonder if you just went down the wrong path to begin with. So today we're going to talk about when those moments happen, like what are the different options, and also what is your business in particular trying to tell you, you know, because there could be a pivot, there could be a burning down. I've experienced all of those and they were all right in the moment. So how do we know the signs? How do we let go what we're supposed to let go of? Or how do we keep on with the things that we're supposed to keep on with? And that's what today's episode is about. So if you have something in mind that you're kind of confused about yourself when it comes to this topic, bring it to today's session. Let's have a little connection, pray to ourselves, to God, our higher selves, and may we get the support that we are needing right now through whatever is coming through in this episode for you, through me, or just even through your heart today. So just leaving some space for that to come through. All right, let's get into it. So let's go back to that episode earlier in the season where I talked about the different seasons of business. Remember where I was like, listen, guys, it's hard. But I talked about that beginning season in business, which is, and this doesn't only happen when the business opens, but this also happens when you start a new product or a new idea, right? So it could be like, maybe I've been in business for 7 years, but I came out with a book and I have that same initial first season that I had when the business started. So it's that season of like, inspiration. I'm so excited to create this thing. I've been receiving signs. My passion is like leading me to create this thing. And I'm excited. I think it's a really good idea. And I see it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to conceive it. And I'm going to push it out, right? Example could be the beginning of your business, or it could also, again, be like a product. For example, my last book, Soul-Led Living. I was excited about it. The inspiration was coming. It was so fun to work on it. Often hard to write it, but I also knew I was meant to, and really just kind of bringing that product into the business. So we all start off with that. But then at some point, that product or that business starts to maybe show signs that something is not working. So it could be, I'm just not getting clients. Like, I am not making money. I'm, you know, breaking even, or I'm losing money every month. Or this product that I put out, it is just not selling well. And I really thought God whispered in my ear and told me to come out with this product. And for some reason, it is not working out. Does that mean that it was a mistake? Does that mean I'm supposed to just forget about it? Does that mean I'm supposed to try harder, right? And I think every situation is different. I think those questions are valid in all different circumstances, right? Because I've definitely tried harder before. I've definitely let things go before. And I've definitely burned things down and started all over again before. So I don't think it's black or white, but I do feel like there are signs that lead us to the right answer for the right situation that we're in. And that's what I'm hoping we can discuss today. So we first have to start with knowing, okay, there's that first season, right? Like the inspo, whatever, and all of that was valid and accurate. Like I don't want you to doubt any of that stuff. Like I don't want you to doubt like I shouldn't have started the business or I shouldn't have come out with the product. That's like almost like not important right now, because what we're really looking to is where we're going and the future rather than the past. So we kind of have to release those emotions about like, I'm so dumb, or I shouldn't have done it this, like, or I got it wrong. We are here, whether it was a mistake or not, but we are here. And there is something to do from here. And that's really what we're going to focus on. So permission to let go of whatever you're feeling about your past decisions, forgiveness to let go any failures that may have come from the past or these mistakes, quote unquote, because they really aren't, guys. I know this is like super cheesy, but the truth is, all of those mistakes are literally just saving you time for the next time you do something. So it sucks that we do them and that we, you know, for example, I came out with my first book, I feel like we shouldn't even count it, but I just came out a few months ago with Soul Led Living, this book, and it was my second book. I'm a seasoned writer, and I still made a ton of mistakes with that book. Like I still made a ton of mistakes in the selling of it, of the launching of it, all that, even though I've had an experience before. And now I'm just excited to kind of create the next one, because there was so much that I learned from this one that I just like feel like, you know, I'm going to just do a much better job the third time around. This podcast, how many times have I done this podcast? It's a good podcast this time around because of all the mistakes I made in the past. So we can't get caught up in those things, and we can't get caught up in, was I meant to do it? Was I not meant to do it? Did my soul like bring me there? Like it doesn't matter. Like let's bring ourselves to the present and see what we have in front of us right now, and permission to set all that free and to love yourself in this moment and be okay with the challenge or the situation that you have in front of you right now. So if the product or the business is not working, it is not because you are awful, and it is not because the product is awful. And I can say that even though I haven't seen your product, I can actually say that even though some might be like, no, Nikki, like it's an awful product or whatever. I can actually say that confidently because of the next thing I'm going to tell you. So it's really not you are bad or the product is bad. And that is one thing we have to understand. So it is not that, let's say I'm a young reader and I'm trying to do readings, and it might be easy to be like, oh, I'm just not good enough yet, and that's like why it's not selling. That is actually like not the reason why it's not selling. The reason that it is not taking off the way you might have thought or the way you might have seen it in your third eye is because there is a gap of knowledge from where that inspo came from, where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to launch this thing, I'm going to open the shop or whatever, to where you're trying to go. So that version of you, like that part of you that was like, oh, I'm so inspired, I'm going to open this thing, I'm going to open this business, and kind of see the future. It could see it being successful, right? You would have never opened it if you didn't like kind of see a little bit of it being successful. So now you've arrived, you've seen that, that's kind of what pushed you here, but then you have arrived to the present moment and it doesn't look like what you saw in the future. And you're like, oh my gosh, like what just happened? And that future version of you that is successful in the thing, whether it's the product, the business, this, let's say like the future version of me who is a successful author, she has information and knowledge and wisdom and things that she has learned that the current version of me does not currently have. So really the difference between where I am and where that future vision of me is, in between all of that is a gap of knowledge. So where you are and where you thought you were going to be when you launched this product, this business or whatever, there is a gap of knowledge in between those two people. They both exist, both the newbie and the successful version of you. She already exists, but we just currently do not have the knowledge that she has that got her to her success. I remember my daughter, when she was like in fifth grade specifically, she was so scared of being a teenager. Her school was right next to a high school, so she always saw like the high school kids, and she'd be like, oh my gosh, mom, it is so scary to be a teenager. Like, I just don't know how to do it, right? Like, she was just like, I know I'm going to be a teenager one day, but I have no idea how I'm going to do the teenage thing. And she was constantly afraid. And it was really like, you know, all of us here, I think most of us, I'm sure, listening, have already passed being a teenager. And of course, looking back, you're like, oh, whatever. Hard place, but you know, got through it, easy peasy, you figure it out. But of course, fifth grade Allie, you know, when she looked at junior year Allie, she was like, oh, how is that going to happen? And really the only thing that was keeping her from being a successful junior was the knowledge between being a fifth grader and a junior. There was all this acquired knowledge that happened between those years. Now, we don't have to take years to get to that place that you're trying to get to where that product or the business works, but there is knowledge, there is confidence, you know, there's shifts that happen from where you are to where you're going. So I say that because a lot of times we think that the business was a bad idea or the product was a bad idea or it's the actual idea where we messed up. And it's really not that. It is the knowledge that we currently do not have to make it better. So I want you to ask yourself, first question is, have I tried to acquire the knowledge to make this work? And the answer might be yes. Like you might be like, no, yes, Nikki, I've taken all the classes. I've talked to all the experts, all that kind of stuff. And if that is your answer, we're going to talk about that in a second. But for the most part, I can even say about my book, right? This book that I'm still figuring out how to sell it. I have not talked to all the experts. I have not spent time in figuring out how to sell a book. I have not talked to people that have been successful with books. So for me to say I'm going to give up on that book, it's just a bad product. It wasn't written well or like nobody wants it is actually not the truth because if I ask myself, have I like done everything that I can to make sure it's successful? The answer is no. I, of course, have the choice. I could still say, no, I have not done any of the things. And I actually do not care to do any of the things. And that is also valid. And if I say like, listen, I know there's a lot of things that probably could make this book work. I currently do not have the energy or like the interest to do it. And that is also valid. And that would tell me, okay, this product, it's time to close it, to let it go and let it like sit where it is. And that is totally okay. But if I really want the product to work or the business to work, and I said, no, actually there's a lot of information that I don't know. I have not tried to tweak it. I have not tried to like ask people for advice or get guidance or hire consultants or whatever. I have not done any of that. And I do have the energy to do that, then that is showing that the product or the business is asking for tweaks. So it's asking to like move forward, but to get the support because you as the vehicle that's kind of like moving the business forward, you have the energy to do so. If you did not have the energy to do so, then that's okay. That would be option number two where you fold it. But if you do and you're like honest about that and you're no longer thinking, oh, I'm bad or the business idea is bad or the product is bad. If you realize that like it is a knowledge thing, then that's showing us that we're going to move forward. So then that would mean you are currently in the testing phase of the business or of the product, which means when we try things to make it work, we are not looking for every action that we do to guarantee the outcome that, oh my gosh, it worked. I hit it out of the park. We are actually more focused on testing and really seeing that it's getting a little bit closer to the result we're looking for. So I say that because testing is very different than, oh my gosh, I just hired this consultant for $10,000 and she's going to answer all the problems. And I mean, how many times have you done that, right? Like you invested in something, you're like, this investment, and you give away your 20 grand because this investment is going to solve all my problems because it was probably sold to you that way, right? But it's not. It's not going to solve all your problems. It's just going to be like one step towards your testing. And I think that's a much healthier way to think about investing and giving your money away when you understand that you're okay with giving this money, even though it's not going to solve all your problems. That's just a side note. But in the testing phase, you're not necessarily looking... You're not putting this pressure on yourself where you're like, everything that I do has to have the outcome of like, yes, it works. And if it doesn't work, then I am going to then say that this is not meant for me because that's what happens. People are like, okay, I'm going to try this new marketing technique and didn't work. It means the universe is telling me I should not have this business anymore. It's like a very unhealthy place to put your mind. Instead, it's really about the energy within you if you have the drive and the motivation to keep moving. And that's really what's going to tell you whether you're supposed to go or not. So, but testing phase is really about trying a lot of things to see what actually works, because there is a formula to success in your business or in your product, believe it or not. So, example, my readings are super popular, right? You guys know I've done over 800 readings. They're expensive. I have a wait list of who knows, over 1,000 people at this point, and they sell like Beyonce tickets, right? That reading is popular, but not by accident. There is actually certain things that I do. There's all these different moving pieces that have made it be successful, and it is made it be very stable, if that makes a word. It's like something in my business that's extremely stable. I have programs like that as well. There are certain programs that I just know if I do one step, one, two, three, four, it's gonna sell, the program's gonna work well, we're gonna have happy customers, and it's gonna bring money into the business. And that is like not by magic, because I am out of the testing phase for those particular products. Now let's go back to the book. I'm in testing phase. I do not know what works for the book yet. I do not know what that magic formula is that, you know, shows itself. I don't have a formula for the book anymore, but I do have a formula for these other products. And it's not because the product is so amazing. That's part of it for sure, because I've tweaked both the reading enough and some of the programs enough to make it a very solid product, of course, but it's actually the way that it is sold and communicated and all that, that is very much a formula. So when you're testing, you are actually looking for a recipe or a formula that really works. So think about being a chef. Like, you might make the same granola 17 times and you finally land on like the perfect, you're like, no, I know that if I put it at 13 minutes as opposed to 17 minutes, or if I put this much oil instead of like this oil, and I use these specific like oats from this supermarket, that's how my recipe comes out really well. And that's how it works. That's what we're looking for in these products and in the business. We are looking for the formula that creates that stability and that consistency that you're looking for. But you can't get to that formula without testing, because you and I could both be doing the same thing, selling books or readings, whatever, programs, podcast. Those are all products within my business. We could be doing the same exact products and your formula can be completely different and work super well for you. And my formula could be so different and work super well for me. It's like saying we both bake cakes. You do a chocolate, I do a lemon, and they're both delicious, but they're done completely different, but they're both cakes and they're both successful cakes. So you have your formula. And when you're testing, what you're doing is you're looking for that formula. Unfortunately, I cannot tell you how long it takes to get that formula. Like, some people get it in a few months, some people get it in a few years. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, how long you've been in business, right? Like, for me now, when I do, like, for example, like if I were to release another product right now, maybe another program, it'd probably be pretty quick for me to find the formula because I've done so many programs. But as you can see, I haven't done a lot of books, and it's taking me longer to find the right formula for the book. I wish I could, you know, predict how long it's going to take for you, but I don't really know what that is. But I think it has a lot to do with, like, you know, how focused are you on finding that formula? Like, how much do you believe that formula exists? It's kind of like, you know, looking for gold. You know, how dedicated, how focused are you to find that gold? You're only testing to find a formula that just works. So any business that just works, you know, like whether it's my husband's tree business, there were certain things that we knew to do that we would do, you know, consistently. And it was part of like our formula that brought in regular income. Every business has those. A lot of business owners might not even know they have the formulas, but they do. And when you see consistency in a business, it's because they've landed on these formulas through testing, through trial and error. If you're in the testing stage, what are some things you could ask yourself? Like, what are some things you're like looking for? First of all, who is your customer? That's like a great place to start. You definitely could like come up with a product thinking of your customer first. I think that's okay. I've definitely done that before, but sometimes I'm just such a purpose, passion kind of driven person, that if I start with the place of like, who's the customer, what do they want, all that, I will sometimes make a product that is for the person, but not really from my heart. And it's not sustainable for me, because if I do something that's really just like a means to an end, or like just a solution, which this is very much like the entrepreneurial way to do things, right? Like you find a problem, you fix it. I personally am just not that kind of entrepreneur. I'm more heart-driven, creative-driven, all that kind of stuff. So that's why I'm totally okay with just like birthing something out of the love for it, you know? So birthing a card business out of the love for it, not even knowing if it's gonna work, like birthing a plant business, not even knowing for its work. Of course, being smart about the level of investment that like starts with it, because I do digital work, there's very little investment. So I like let myself have like the space to, you know, birth things from my heart, and then I tweak. But you also can, you know, before you birth something, you can definitely do this research first, and you'll have less error, basically. I feel like everybody that's listening kind of just like births out of their heart, and then we'll fix it after it comes out of the heart, you know? So let's say it's out of the heart, like it's purely you, it's an expression of you, which is so beautiful. And that is what the world needs, you know? So, you know, you've birthed it something that's like out of your expression. My book, it's like an expression of me, right? Maybe I could have been a little bit more marketing savvy as I was writing it, but I wasn't, and that's okay. Now it's like, okay, who is the customer for this expression? Like really getting to know that customer and getting to know the words they're using. How are they talking about? I recently did a survey on some of my clients to see what words they were using when it came to intuition. And guess what? Most people are using the word gut to describe intuition. Intuition was like actually like that word was third on the list. So if I were to write a book about intuition, I mean, it was high up there enough that I could still use the word intuition. I could use like a title that says gut in it, and that would probably be more relevant to this kind of customer that I'm looking at. So that's interesting, right? Like I might be using the word intuition all the time. I might never use the word gut, but when I talk to my people, if that's the word that they're using, I'm going to want to incorporate that, because a lot of the times, again, it's not the product, it's the messaging. It's the way that I'm communicating this thing to my client. And really just getting to know them, like what are their challenges? Like what, you know, I might want to write an intuition book, but like I need to see like what challenges are they dealing with. I was actually doing this survey and I had never thought about this, but a person that is like trying to make their intuition stronger is typically a person who is a little bit of a people pleaser, which I never knew that, because they are kind of existing in a world where they're like really looking at the external validation, and they're like listening to a lot of voices outside of them, and they're like what they're following, like their path is really more about either trying to be successful based on like society's norms, or trying to make like the people in their life happy and proud of them and all that kind of stuff. So they lack intuition. I didn't know that. Like I honestly, until I started to ask those questions, I didn't know that that was a challenge they were dealing with, because I personally, I've always been connected to my intuition. So I didn't really have, or it's been so long that I've been disconnected from my intuition that I don't currently have those challenges. So I have to ask the customer. So you might have a store and be super fashion savvy, and that's why you should have a store, right? And you might be kind of disconnected from the customer, not knowing that the customer cannot put an outfit together, but you, that's like second nature, and there's a gap of, you know, information between you and the customer. Maybe they need like, I don't know, little daily outfit inspo, you know, maybe it needs to be like to go out to dinner, to go during the day, to go to the fair, you know, all that kind of stuff, and really give them that inspo, because that's a challenge that they're dealing with, and that's what's going to make them buy more at your store. You just take that for granted because you just wake up knowing how to put an outfit on, but that's also why you're the person that owns the store. And then also in the testing phase, the next thing I would do is really go through the customer journey. So the customer journey is from that moment that they find you to the moment that they purchase with you. So they're going through a journey. So somebody might find me on a podcast, and then maybe they listen to all my podcast episodes, and maybe they follow me on Instagram, and then maybe they buy a little course that I have, and then maybe they buy a reading. Like, how did they get from like knowing that I existed to actually purchasing with me? And where are those gaps? I have a shout out to Giselle, my interior designer, but I just know way too much about her business lately. But I was talking to her about this the other day and I thought this is so fascinating. She was talking about, I was talking to her, I was like, you know, I really feel there's a gap in your sales process. Like she was talking about that she, you know, they get a lot of clients, but she's having a hard time like closing some deals. And she thought maybe it was her sales techniques or something. And I'm like, no, there's like a break. Like I'm like, because I'm one of her customers too. So again, things that she takes for granted, I'm super overwhelmed by the design process. So even signing the contract is overwhelming for me and I'll put it off, you know? And as we kind of talked about the journey of the customer, we realized that there was like a few steps like in that kind of closing the sale thing that was not supportive to this kind of client. Like it was like, you were like, she was like almost like leaving them hanging because of like certain things that they're dealing with. So it's like, she didn't mean, of course she wants to help the client make the decision, but there's like places where she's like leaving them hanging and that's why they're not like closing, right? And it's not her product, it's not even her price, right? A lot of times it's like, oh, it's my product, it's my price, it's my service. It's not. It's sometimes there's a break in the journey. When I first started doing readings and I wasn't booked up the way that I am right now. I mean, I was getting some clients, but definitely there was no like abundance of clients. I one day was like, I don't know. I just thought about like looking at the customer journey and I realized that it was so hard to book with me. Like you'd have to reach out to me and then I would connect you to my assistant and then my assistant would give you like 3 days that maybe you can book with me. And then you'd have to get back to her and tell her which day worked for you. And maybe one of those days didn't work for you. And then she would send you an invoice and then you would pay. And then you would finally talk to me. Like, it's like, oh my God, you really have to want a reading if, to go through all those steps. And you should not have to go through all those steps, right? We should make it really easy for you to book a session with me. And when we did fix the journey, it changed my business. And the product didn't change. The price didn't change. If anything, I raised the price going forward. And it was really that there was a break in the journey. So that's another thing you want to look at when you're in the testing phase. Like don't throw the product out just because you think it's not selling. Really like look at the process in which people take in order to purchase that thing. Because I bet you there's something broken in that formula. Okay, so this is what I have for those of you who honestly answered the question, no, I have not done everything I can to make this thing work. I'm blaming myself. I'm doubting myself. I'm blaming my price. I'm going into like all that victim place as opposed to seeing it as a scientist. And now that I hear you talk, Nikki, there is so much more that I can do to make this work. And I have the energy to make it work. If you answered that question like that, then everything that I just said is for you. And the answer is tweak and find the formula that brings you that stability in this product or in this business that you're looking for and believe that the formula works and keep telling yourself, this is going to work. Like there's just information that I don't know yet and I'm allowing all that advice and all that guidance to land on my lap. So if it's like, I really want this book to work and I really want it to sell. There's a lot of information I don't know. I allow those experts and the people that do know how to make this work to come into my life. I'm letting them come. I might be seeking some of them as well, but I'm letting all those answers come in and I'm aware that there's knowledge that I do not have, but that future version of me has all the knowledge and I'm just on that journey of acquiring all that knowledge to make this thing work. And I stay in that energy rather than like, there's something wrong with me or I should bring my price down. Like, I want you to keep your focus there. Now, for those of you who said, I hear you, Nikki, I've done all those things and I'm tired. Like, I do not have the energy to keep going. I do not have the energy to keep tweaking this thing. I just don't have the drive for it anymore. Now, that is a very different feeling. I have been there. And the good news is like, it's all good. That just means that there's something else that's trying to birth through you and that this season, whether it's a product or could even be the business, It's just that season is over. Yes, you could totally like burn down the business and start all over again. And there's definitely a place and a time for that. Benny and I closed down his business once. So I've done that before. I've closed businesses down before. And I think that that is such a strong feeling. You're probably not even listening to this podcast if that is like the case for you, because it's so strong. And I bet you're just not even looking for business advice at that time. It's like, you just know that it's time to close that thing. Like it tells you in a very strong way. But then there's that second option of pivoting. And to me, pivoting is expanding a little bit on like what you've already done. Pivoting could also be a new product that you birth, and you kind of like move on to the next, what I like to call body of work. It could look like a rebrand. It could look like a new product. It could look like you have this one product that used to be, let's say, for the layman, for the customer. And now you're like, you know what? I really think this product should be B2B. Like I want to sell this for like business people. And you kind of just maybe even just change your customer a little bit, right? So it's a pivot. And pivots are cool. They can be a little confusing. And I think they're scary because you can't jump from like one thing to the pivot. There's usually this time in between that is a little murky and there's a lack of clarity and you're kind of getting pregnant with the next thing, you know? And you might already be pregnant with it, but you don't know if it's a boy or a girl yet. You don't know if it's gonna have a full arm yet, right? Because it's growing within you. So it's not a full form baby. And it takes 9 months for that baby to come out and see it completely. So I think that's why we're afraid of pivots, because, and I think we can definitely doubt ourselves enough that we stay in this like purgatory longer than we should. So that's a thing. But I know that I used to be like afraid of pivots, and you resist them and then almost like you extend that shift. Like, you know, you were supposed to pivot or change a year ago and you didn't do it. That's definitely happened to me. And you didn't do it and you're like, ugh, like I should have moved a little quicker, you know, and you can extend that time. But again, if that's where you're at, no worries. We're here. Not a big deal. Moving forward. But basically what the pivot is, it's kind of like starting the inspo loop all over again. So you know how we talked about like, oh my gosh, I was inspired to make this product. Oh my gosh, I was inspired to start this business. There's like, you remember those like kind of beginning stages. It's going to look very different because you're more experienced now. So it's not going to be as hard, or it's not going to take as long, but you are in the place of getting pregnant to birth a new idea. And that is exciting. You know, like I'm excited for you, but yeah, you might need a little bit of a bridge as you pivot into this new thing. And again, I like to call it bodies of work, because I think it's like, as creative entrepreneurs, we are like artists, where think about, I always use the example of like Taylor Swift, right? Like she used to do country music, and now if she wants to sing opera or rap, like people will buy her stuff, right? Like she has earned her way to being able to switch, and she allows herself to have different eras, right? She allows herself to evolve. And what you might have resonated with 3 years ago might be changing, and you're allowed to change. And even when it's something super successful in your business, be brave enough to go with a change that's being birthed inside of you, because if you don't shift, you might die, because we're supposed to evolve. So like if your business is asking you to evolve and you're like scared to evolve because you're, you know, comfortable where you're at, do like that to me is very scary, because in a year or two, you might be like the dinosaur, you know, like the blockbuster in a Netflix world. So definitely listen to that feeling of evolving if it's coming your way, especially when you have already been successful. Like, do not sit on your laurels, right? Is that the saying? So if that is a sign for you guys, like take it. So in this stage, allow yourself to have a bridge. So, you know, allow yourself to permission to be like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this thing that I know works. Or like, this could also be, I'm currently in this career and like, I don't love this job. I know I'm ready for the next thing. I'm ready to birth the new idea, but I'm going to like keep that job to help me come into this new thing. And then that new thing is like, you are playing with it and there's no pressure on it, which is different than testing. So testing, there's a little bit of pressure because you've already like invested and you're like, yeah, like we're going to make this thing work. Where this kind of place where you're birthing the new thing. It's you're testing in a different way. You're testing to see what survives. So it's like when you plant a few seeds, like I might be saying like, okay, I'm going to plant these five flowers and I plant them from seeds. So I planted five seeds. Not all five of those seeds are going to give. Maybe only two of them do. And in this stage where I'm pivoting and I'm really trying to get pregnant with a new idea, the new body of work, I'm actually trying to see what sticks and what actually has roots to actually survive. I might have three ideas and one idea just doesn't resonate. Yes, I love it, but it doesn't really resonate with people. And I need to find something that both I love and resonates with people. And that's how I know like something will survive. So we're kind of trying to see what creative ideas, it's again, like pregnancy, like what creative idea actually is going to make it for the long haul and is actually going to survive. So we do need a little bit of creative space here with no pressure. So specifically money, for example, we should find something else to bring us money rather than like the thing that we're trying to see what works, if that makes sense. I feel like I did not have the right words for that, but different than testing, because testing, you are usually like making money on the thing that you're testing while you're testing. Might not be making a bunch, but you're making some, like you're charging, you know, you're really trying to make, you're still making money from that thing. Where this kind of birthing, there is no expectation for the thing that you're birthing to make money. You might do it out in the open where you're like, hey, I'm gonna host this pop-up or I'm gonna teach this workshop, but it's probably gonna be more of like a break-even thing or not a ton of money because you're just trying to see what sticks rather than find the right formula, if that makes sense. So it's a little different than testing when you're birthing and kind of almost running two businesses or at the same time, or it could be like a current career and a new business at the same time. You have to mind your energy, which means like I am energetically not invested in my career anymore. What do they call that? Like quiet quitting. I'm energetically not super invested in this product that like does work, whatever. You know, I show up, I do what I need to do and I give love and I'm present with the people that I'm working with. But really, I'm like really looking into making a creative space to birth this new thing. So in a way, energetically, like my creative energy is more in the new thing than it is in the old thing. So we're kind of holding these two places at the same time. I mean, another way to look at it is like, I have a baby, he's good, he's 3 years old, he's in daycare or he has a nanny, and I'm trying to get pregnant with the next one. So, I mean, it's not like we're abandoning the child, but we're moving on. I also think like, I love the idea of new bodies of work because it doesn't mean that you close down the old thing. So for example, I have an old body of work that's about dating and I have a dating book and I have some dating meditations and all that. And I just sold the dating book a couple of weeks ago because it's an old body of work of mine. And what's cool is that when you have a few body of work, they start to be on top of each other. And that's actually like brings even more stability into the business. So I'm like adding bodies of work to this business. And there's this whole library of different bodies of the work, right? So just because Taylor Swift comes out with a new album, she doesn't get rid of the country album. It still exists. And there's still people that want to buy that. And then that still brings, you know, money into her business, right? So don't feel like you have to totally disconnect. There may be a stage where you totally disconnect because you rebrand and you're just like not super associated with it. But you're going to love it enough that you're going to bring it out again another time and it's still available. It's like in the vault, but you're excited to bring out the new work. All right, friends. So that's what I got for you today. I hope that was helpful. I hope that this gives you a little bit of space to feel into where your business is trying to go. And hopefully we saved a lot of babies that shouldn't be thrown out with the bathwater. I still don't like that saying, but you know what I mean. And can't wait to see where you go from here. Sending you so much love on your entrepreneurial journey. And remember, if you know another creative entrepreneur who could really use this episode, I would be so grateful if you share it, on your platforms, whatever we can do to get the word out. I appreciate it. Or just leaving a review means a ton to me. Cannot wait to see you next week. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you have a sec, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews are so helpful. And if you're ready to start living your soul-led life, pick up my latest book, Soul-Led Living, available on Amazon. Until next time. Love you much.